Been a lot of talk in the last couple of days about Nancy Pelosi and when she knew about waterboarding as a policy and whether she could have done anything about it. A lot of that is based on the reporting of my next guest, Glenn Thrush, who is senior congressional reporter for Politico. Glenn, welcome to the Big 89.
Thank you.
Pleasure to have you on here. You had a story yesterday that you've now updated this morning about Nancy Pelosi and the fact that she knew about the waterboarding in 2003, but claimed that she couldn't do anything about it because she had to have respect for, quote, appropriate legislative channels.
Well, there are a couple of explanations that the speaker has made with regard to what she knew and when she knew it and what she did when she knew it. The first is that she, when she was initially briefed, her very first briefing took place in September 2002. There are dockets that were released by the CIA that indicate, in a vague kind of way, that she was given information about the particular methods used on detainees. Pelosi has said from the start and has remained consistent that she was never told about waterboarding during those that particular briefing. Then, in February of 2003, about 5 months later, a Pelosi aide sat in on another briefing in which the waterboarding of an al-Qaeda detainee named Abu Zubaydah was explained by CIA officials. Previously, Pelosi has played it a little bit technical and said that she had not been briefed about waterboarding by the CIA. That is technically true, but we now know that she was, in fact, told about it by an aide, Michael Sheehy, her top intelligence aide, who recently left in February of 2003.
So if she knew about it at that time, why didn't she do anything about it if she found it so distasteful and a policy that she disagreed with?
Well, that's the big question. She claims she did something, and that something was tacitly supporting a letter written by Jane Harman, the ranking member on the Intelligence Committee, and ironically, a longtime rival of the speaker's. The problem there is that Pelosi apparently never communicated that support directly to Harman, and again, did it through this intelligence aide.
Boy, that is tacit.
Yeah, very, very tacit. Extremely tacit.
Yeah. By the way, don't tell anybody, but I support the thing. Oh, don't even mention that.
Yeah, and apart from that, she made no direct communications to either the president or any national security officials. She has made some claims with some validity that the classified nature of briefings precluded her from making these complaints. But virtually no one else in either party seems to have been constrained by those same restrictions, including John McCain, who told me yesterday that he complained vehemently when he was informed about the waterboarding. So she seems to be alone in this very strict interpretation of the classified nature of those briefings.
Well, if she was concerned about the classified nature, that wouldn't stop her from complaining to people who obviously have classified status, who are up the chain from her, particularly the President of the United States. Did she ever go to President Bush and say, look, this is wrong for the United States to be doing this?
No, she didn't. And this was a question that was, I spoke to about a half a dozen, actually seven, Democratic and Republican staffers over the last week to just sort of canvass them on the options that Pelosi might have had. And at the very top of that list was, Pelosi and George Bush and Dick Cheney were in the room together many times during this period. And she also had the option of communicating through the intelligence officials who briefed her objections. There is no evidence whatsoever, and I have asked her staff repeatedly for such evidence, that she ever made those complaints directly to the president, to the vice president, or the head of the CIA. So she remained largely mute on this issue, apart from her indirect support of the Harman letter.
Is it possible she didn't understand what was going on?
No, I don't think that's possible. One can't conjecture about these things, but Democratic aides have told us repeatedly over the last 2 weeks that one potential explanation has to do with the tenor of those times. This was a year after the September 11th terrorist attacks. And I can tell you personally, having been in Lower Manhattan on that day and covered that event, that September of 2002, when these interrogation briefings began, the country was still enormously concerned about a follow-up attack. And these were clearly different times. But Pelosi has never made that argument. And a lot of her Democratic supporters are wondering why not. It seems like a fairly reasonable explanation for why she chose not to make a complaint. And then there's a political factor here that also comes into play. A lot of Democrats that I spoke to were concerned at that time in 2002, 2003, that the nature of these briefings would have been leaked to the press in the Judy Miller Scooter Libby kind of way, and that if Pelosi had raised objections, it would have been known to the press prior to the midterm elections in 2002 that the top Democrat in the House was standing in the way of interrogations, which could have been enormously politically damaging. All of this is simply conjecture, but Pelosi herself has stuck very strictly to her technical definition and has not ventured any explanation other than the ones she's already given.
Now, the Senate Judiciary Committee is scheduled to hold a hearing on those torture memos and the Bush lawyers who wrote those memos today, and the House may be having hearings in the future. Does this undermine Pelosi when it comes to those House hearings?
Well, I don't think it undermines Pelosi in terms of the House hearings. Pelosi has been the only member of the Big Three, Obama, Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, and herself, to be in favor of a truth commission, which is being pushed by her Judiciary Chairman, John Conyers. And a truth commission would be very much like a 9/11 style commission that would be bipartisan and explore this thing over the course of a period of time. That is enormously unpopular among Republicans. She is still sticking with that plan, but it is now virtually assured of being killed as a result of the problems that she's had.
Great job reporting this story and continuing to write about it, Glenn. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Glenn Thrush, read the stuff he's been writing on Politico.com on this. He is out in front on this story and doing some great work, too. This is the Big 89 WLS.